Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. It is another pay-per-view week. The UFC heads to the Sphere for the first time on Saturday, and on today's show, I'm going to tell you my concerns about the Sphere. Plus, Merab has made some strong comments about Umar Nurmagomedov and an all-time great walked away from the sport this weekend. Or did he? A lot to get to, folks. Let's begin here. Tom Brady versus Gilbert Burns, here's what happened. All right, now, guys, you got to understand this from the beginning. I came to you last week, and I said, what is going on? My own partners at DraftKings had Brady as a favorite. Now, there's a tipping point. Like, there's a tipping point where a fighter is he's not what he was, and he's not coming back. And the last one to know that will be the fighter, and the first one to know that will be you guys, the public and the betting public. But I didn't see that with Gilbert. I didn't see that in his fight with Blahal Muhammad, which, by the way, Gilbert almost won. Which, by the way, it turned out that Blahal was the best fighter in the world, and Blahal is the common opponent between the two. He's a common opponent between the two, and I'm talking about Gilbert, and I'm talking about Brady. And Gilbert did much better with him than Brady. That's a fair assessment. But DraftKings, and you guys were pretty sure that Gilbert was in a little over his head, and as great as Brady looked, and it was very clear that who had more shelf life, I understand that. I understand your ROI and that Brady is the new face. I get all of those things. But Brady is going to have to out-grapple the highest medalist from Abu Dhabi that is currently signed within the division. So, not to mention, Brady is going to have to go into championship rounds, which he had not previously done. He had been scheduled for it. I understand that. So in theory, he was prepared, but he still hadn't done. I just thought that Gilbert was good value. And you guys got it. Brady also looked better than he's ever looked. He looked better in the stand-up, and he showed that grappling prowess. And he does not have the paper behind him that Gilbert Burns has. Brady does not have a medal from Abu Dhabi behind him. But he's got a lot of other things. Right? I mean, he really does. He beat Craig Jones in grappling. It matters. These things are all very relevant. So, Gilbert Burns has retired. And he made this comment out of the ring behind the stage. And it was released on the internet, and that is where I saw it. But I haven't seen a lot of fanfare behind it. So perhaps, right, I mean, are you guys not taking it as strongly as I took it? Did I get something wrong? And this isn't the first time I've come to you, Eagles, to clarify. I came to you a week and a half ago because I saw a report that Colby Covington was going to fight Poirier at Madison Square Garden in a headliner. And my problem, right, it was the UFC artwork and this looked official. Everything seemed on brand. It was even reported by the media. And Mania or Elbow, like, these are my two sources. But it was on one of them. The problem I had, where I wasn't believing it, is it said headliner. And headliner is not a vernacular the UFC uses. So, you guys, many of you told me that you'd seen the same thing. And many of you told me we got ahead of ourselves. And many of you told me that it was a fight in the making, but it wasn't quite done yet. And the one thing I could tell between A, B, and C is you were all BS artists. None of you knew. You were presenting it to me like you had information that was nothing more than your guess. Fine. Relevant, though. And you want to know why it's relevant? Because Brady has now called out Covington. That's a great match. No question about it. Covington has called out Wonderboy. Ian Gary and Covington can't get through an interview without being asked about each other, and Wonderboy weighed in on social media backing Brady's idea that it should be he and Colby. So, and I like it. I like every way that we're slicing this. I like every one of those ideas and options for Colby, but those are vastly different. Like, if you could be in there in New York, right, at the Garden, opposite Poirier, in Poirier's retirement fight, or you could be in there with Brady, an up-and-comer who's coming off a couple of main event victories. Like, it's a very different fight. And I don't think that Brady would waste a bullet. And as much as we over here at Bad Guy Inc. are having a hard time getting to the bottom of it, is the rumor between Poirier and Colby true? Is it being signed? Is it being worked on? As much as we're working on that, Brady would know. The guys know. The guys hear the rumors. So I feel somewhat comfortable in telling you guys that Colby versus Poirier is not in the works. And Brady's going to try to insert himself. Brady with a call-out. Brady with a big win. One over Gaslam. Another one coming in over the weekend in Burns. Only loss being to what turned out to be the best fighter in the world in Bilal Muhammad. A lot of really good things going here for Brady. And now he's parlaying that into trying to control his own career and doing a shout-out and a call-out of Colby. I'm very curious where that goes. Mighty Mouse retired. Mighty Mouse won a grappling tournament a week ago, or at least made it into the finals. Mighty Mouse hasn't been training MMA as much under Matt Hume, but he is on the internet catching workouts with Mikey Mussolini. Okay, you know what, guys? I'm confused. He retired from what? Demetrius Johnson retired from what? It must be from MMA. He is the reigning champion of Chachere's one fighting championship, and that's 135 pounds. He's returning that belt, relinquishing it, so now guys over there can get on with it. And Demetrius hasn't defended that belt for a period of time. So whether he was waiting on something or just waiting on the right time, either way, he's giving that belt back. But he's not injured. There's not an illness. And he's as sharp as ever. I can tell you all those things because I watched him 1 week ago. I watched him compete. I watched him break a young man's heart over there that he had to go and talk to afterwards. Show some sportsmanship. And there's a part of me that wants to say he got caught in the finals. Did he end up losing that? I don't need the result. Whether he won that or he didn't win it, he had four matches and looked great, looked athletic, looked fast. And you still got to be hungry. You've still got to be curious. To go out and compete in gi jiu-jitsu while being known as the greatest fighter to have ever done it and a reigning champion. Like, that wasn't a cash grab. They did not pay Demetrius to enter this tournament. Demetrius flew out on his own dime, paid them an entry fee like everybody else, because he loves to compete and wanted to test himself. I mean, I'm just sharing that with you because that does not go in line with a guy who's retiring. So, and I would only wish Demetrius well. I would only take this information and wish him well. I'm just wondering if we've got the right information. So I got to go back to my question. If Demetrius sees this and chooses to answer it, retiring from what? Is it everything? Or is it just MMA, considering he's the champion, vacated the title, and made this whole announcement in an MMA promotion? So Demetrius will never want to fight more. Like, right now, it's this big relief. Right now, it's this big relief. And within 2 weeks, it's going to be confronted with, who am I? Who am I and what do I do with my time? And if you don't have an answer to that, if you can't fill that question, which, by the way, he might. This is a great father and husband and teammate. And I mean, he's got other things going on. So if he fills that void, off life he goes. But if he doesn't, within about 2 weeks, he is going to be flirting with the idea of coming back. Now, everybody, and I do mean everybody, flirts with the idea of coming back. And you can't have a comeback fight if you didn't retire first, right, in the first place. So everybody will consider it, though. Some guys will do what Masvidal's doing and even take it to the marketplace. Say, who wants me and what's out there? What weight class and what kind of opponents are we looking at? Now, even in Masvidal's place, whether he ends up going through with it or not is another conversation. But everybody that walks away, everybody, George St. Pierre couldn't have been a more sincere walk out the door. Came back, retired again, couldn't have been more sincere, and then had even signed a contract to compete with Kamaru Usman winter of last year in a grappling fence. So I'm just sharing with you. Because the one thing that Demetrius doesn't know, and I just spoke to Demetrius. I just spoke to him for an hour. We did a podcast together. This was a month ago. One thing that became very clear when I was talking to him, he doesn't know how he's viewed by you, the audience, or even the fellow competitors. He does not know that we look at him different. We look at him special. He doesn't know that he goes on that same, whatever that is. I've heard people say Mount Rushmore, other people are offended by Mount Rushmore, but whatever that echelon is, where John Jones and Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre are, whatever that is, so's Demetrius. That's how we view him, and he doesn't know that. And one thing that's going to happen in a short period of time, right, all artists become valuable or become more valuable in death. Even if it's the death of a career. See, that's the one thing that people don't fully understand when you talk about a mixed martial artist versus a painter, where the painter has to actually decease. Well, because that's the only way that his career comes to an end. He could paint until he's 80, he could paint until he's 85. We've had painters that have gone out that have been blind. It never ends. So for an MMA fighter, it can come to an end. And the reason I tell you that is he's going to get presented with ideas with more energy behind them, and more people say, hey, I would love to see that. Amanda Nunes is dealing with that right now. Amanda Nunes, as great as she was, couldn't get any records in pay-per-view. She's got no records in live gate. She couldn't fill a house. But boy, she could for her next one. I couldn't explain the phenomenon for you. I could just historically give you example where it's true. And it's to the point where Amanda's thinking of coming back. It doesn't have as much to do with Kayla Harrison as the way the story is being told. It has to do with the encouragement that she's getting has never been stronger from you guys. going to her and wanting her back and bringing up and saying, come on, do it. Come on, do one more. Getting that encouragement. And I don't know what you guys will offer for Demetrius. I just know that you will do it. And I don't know that it will come in 2 weeks. I understand. Amanda Nunes was a year, and this is much more realistic. And the talk of Khabib and St. Pierre, and one of the reasons that was so hot, like, that wasn't all that hot at the time when they were both competing, and they did both compete at the same time for a period of time. It became hot when they were both done and you couldn't get it. We understand this concept. But what is it that Demetrius retired from? He retired from grappling, the thing he did a week ago, or retired from MMA, where he happens to be a reigning champion and he wants the locker rooms to get on? It's a simple question by me. But if we're supposed to believe that he retired as a whole, I don't believe that. In fact, I dispute that. Will he ever compete in MMA again? Very unlikely. But will he get a real encouragement from you, the fans? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's coming. And by the way, don't be reserved on that. It's a tremendous compliment. It's a tremendous compliment you're giving Demetrius. I'm actually excited for it to come because, and I could tell this by talking to him, I really could, guys, he doesn't know the esteem and the regard that you hold him to. So if this is your last chance, give it to him. Go on social media. Tell him what you thought of his career. Whether he admits it or not, he'll appreciate it. Merab is speaking out against Umar Nurmagomedov. How are we supposed to interpret that? That is very, very interesting to me. First off, they have somewhat similar paths. Like, Umar is said by Merab, okay? Now, this is the second interview in as many weeks. And Merab is going to be red hot this week with interviews and media. This is likely to be a theme that keeps coming up. It is so extremely unlike Merab to resist a fight. I can't call this turn down, but for lack of having a better word, it's the closest we've ever seen to Merab turning it down. He's actively trying to get attention off of it. And there is no part of me that is contending that Merab Dishlavili is scared by any means. He's already been in there with Cejudo. He's already been in there with Jan, right? He trained every day with Aljo. I mean, these are three world champions that he's got experience with right off the top of my head, and he's about to go in there with a fourth, you know, Mali. There's no part of me that is suggesting he's scared, but Merab did make an interesting comment about Umar and said Umar has been fast-tracked by the UFC. And what a fascinating statement. And he was fast-tracked because he's a Nurmagomedov. Like, that sounds right to me. That would not be a surprise or something that is out of bounds. Like to have Khabib and have that demographic and that part of the world, oh, by the way, you got another one with the same name who's now coached and cornered by Khabib himself, who, by the way, has a similar record, which is completely undefeated. Like, that would make sense to me. And I had those very same thoughts as Merab is stating. I had those thoughts that we would do something like that and we would do it in short order. And I had it the night that Khabib walked away 29-0 after his win against Poirier. Now, I didn't have it in the form of Usmar or even Usman Nurmagomedov. I had it in the form of Khamzat Chimaev. I thought he would be the one to grab that demographic, grab the belt, off we go. He's never even been given an opportunity for a belt. And when Merab made the comment about Umar, I went and looked him up. Guys, how long do you think Umar? Because he looks young, right? Like, he's very cute. He looks like a young man. And he's brand new to the scene. And Merab just said he got faster, so he's got to be pretty new. How long do you think he's been in the UFC? 4 years. 4 years. I know high school felt like it went by fast, but can we agree 4 years is a meaningful amount of time? I don't know if you can get fast-tracked after being there for 4 years. He's 18-0. He's undefeated, but within the UFC, he's 6-0. And 6-0 while being undefeated, right, Kreskin? You've now won 6 in a row. Well, Merab made a very big push himself and got support by you guys when he became 6 in a row in the UFC. And not undefeated. It was six in a row. He'd been defeated, and then he had to get back on track. He did it six times. And I think that he went eight times. I think that Merab, at this point of getting the title shot, this would be fight number nine. Those sound pretty close. And Merab was either the longest win streak in UFC history to not get a title shot, or he tied for it. And Umar's not wildly behind that. So, but it does feel like he is, right? Like when the statement was made by Merab, it did feel like that's what was happening. I'm just here to share with you. I went and looked at those numbers. That isn't the case. Do you remember Nate Quarry? Nate Quarry was my teammate and got a title fight against Rich Franklin. And so many people had said to Nate, oh, this is fast. Don't you think this is fast? And Nate finally in an interview goes, well, I've been at it for 12 years. I fought 25 guys. I mean, if that's fast, if 12 years and 25 fights later, which finally got me here, if that's fast, then yeah. It was a great point by Nate. And they didn't ask him that question again. They did not present it as though he had a favor called in or that he was an illegitimate contender. They understood. And I don't know, 18 and 0, boy, that's a lot of fights. That's a lot of fights. For a guy who could have a favor called in. Khabib has never asked. Did it all by the, did it straight, did it in front of you guys. Even with Islam, did it all straight for you guys. Yes, I want a title shot. Yes, I think that he's the best. Yes, we will fight anybody. Yes, get us there. Then do his interviews after the fight. Put the hat on him, roll out the back. But even though he had access, even though he got right through the portal, he never did. And I don't know that that's happened with Umar either. It sure doesn't appear that way. And there's something about that match that bothers Merab. It's a very big deal because we've never seen Merab, who is dog tough. We've never seen a resistance. So the reason it's so relevant, and O'Malley is welcomed it. O'Malley cheered for it, wanted him to get the best. Talking about Nurmagomedov, wanted him to get the best of Corey, wanted him to be next. Can't fight him now. Got to deal with Merab. But then he's going to see you. And it was a very different attitude. And whether this is conscious or subconscious, the reason I bring it to you is think about yourself. Think about a reaction, a reward, or a consequence of an action. Are you going to want that to be positive? I mean, how are you going to look at Umar? Are you going to look at him as a consequence? Or are you going to look at him as a reward? Because either way, it's unique and he's next. We don't see that very often. We don't see where champion has something to do, but the guy for whoever champion is on the other end is sitting there and he's ready. And if it's not something you want, or moreover, if it's something you don't want, there is a way to avoid it. But if it's something you don't want, how badly do you not want it? Because there is a way to avoid it. I've seen this in the world of wrestling a number of times. Tough guys, guys I thought were tough guys. And they make it to a certain round, usually the semifinals, but they don't like the draw. So you got to come in the next morning, weigh in, and then you go do that match. And I have watched them miss weigh-ins, miss weight, whatever it is, to get out of that match without having to go and do that match. I don't suggest for you that Merab would go that far. I don't suggest for you that Merab has any problem with Umar. I'm just bringing to your attention that it is a piece of the fight. It's a storyline built into this fight. There's a reason that Umar got named a number one contender. That was important. That was important to have him there and be able to do this face-off, whoever the opponent might be. So he has a built-in story of the fight. Is he reward? Because O'Malley wants a piece of him. O'Malley wants him. And the only way he's getting him is to get through Merab. Merab doesn't want him. So now, the same thing. One guy views it as a reward and one views it as a consequence. It's interesting. It's food for thought. I don't have a lot to do with that right now. I don't have a finished thought for you guys. But perhaps after the match Saturday, I will be able to show you where this piece mattered. Nurmagomedov fast-tracked to a title shot. 4 years, 18 fights, 6 in the organization. Is that fast? It's going to be a historic night in the desert for the first time ever. UFC is live inside the Sphere. Jump in on all the Riyadh Season Noche UFC action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. The men's bantamweight title and the women's flyweight belt are both on the line for the stacked fight card. And speaking of stacked, if you are new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $250 in bonus bets instantly. So let's make some history. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code CHAIL. That's code CHAIL for all new customers to get $250 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources at dkng.co/mm.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, and how does my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss like the majority of the male population does, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that actually work, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable oral spray and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. Reaching out for help in this area can feel a bit embarrassing, but Hims has made this process so dignified and simple. All you have to do is answer a few questions online and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. No in-person visits to the doctor or pharmacy are needed. The whole process is 100% online. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get that confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/chail. That's Hims. HIMS.com/chail, like the famous gangster. For your personalized hair loss treatment options, HIMS.com/chail. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Stadium shows, UFC playing a stadium. Moreover, what side of that are you on? Have you found yourself in that conversation before? Whether you're for it or whether you're against it. I mean, I got to tell you, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if that's my audience. Like, I've got the cool guys. That's not a cool thing to talk about, right? That's a little bit nerdy, quite frankly. What difference does it make? What difference does it possibly make to you where they put the event? And if you've got an answer, I'm all open to listening. Like if there's a place that has uncomfortable chairs or there's a place that it's really hard to see, please share it with me. But I have heard, and we can't seem to get this to stop, a stadium show for UFC. Like it's really hard to get that conversation to stop. I have never met a fan. I know they're out there. I've heard from them on social. I've never met a fan that's like, oh my God, it'd be so cool to go to a stadium. What show is it that you've seen in a stadium that you thought was a good show? I'll go first. I was at Autzen Stadium. My daughter, 6 years old, a little performance during halftime. And it works for a football game. It doesn't work because because the field is so big and because the screens are doing so well. That's not... It's just not what they're driven on, right? You got school spirit. You put the students way up high. Mom and dad come down. It's a tailgate. Very few sober faces in the building. And it's just not about being able to see that or the energy. You got a really good sound system. It's one of those things that it works. I don't personally care for it, but it does work. And I was at Safeco the night Brock Lesnar hit the backflip off the top rope, landed. We thought he broke his neck. He'd taken on Kurt Angle. I was at Safeco and I was so excited driving up there. I paid $70 for a ticket. I went up there to meet Scott Norton. And all I knew is I must have a really great seat for $70. Well, it turns out, no. And this was way back. When was that, guys, at Safeco? When was it? 2006? I'm getting, but it was a long time ago. Where $70 goes a little further than it does now. I was so high up, I couldn't even see the screens. The great big screens that they put in there, which you end up watching a lot of those events on the screens anyway. You couldn't even see those. Brock hits this flip off the top rope, breaks his, I mean, it's this terrible thing. We had no idea. We're asking, and so are other people with us. What is happening? And we weren't towards the roof, by the way. Like, if you looked at for the very worst seat in the house, if you were to turn around and look for it, you wouldn't even be able to recognize the person. They were that far away. It's just the ring was so much even further away, and this is because it was in a stadium. And I'm offering you this example. Like, are you one of the fans that go, hey, I want a stadium show? Because you seem to think that you're going to get a cheaper ticket or something along those lines. I'm just sharing with you, it wasn't my experience, or at least I didn't consider $70 to be a cheap ticket back then. I couldn't take a date. Scott lived up there. I couldn't afford to, so I went and met him. He couldn't take a date, so he went and met me. It was one of these things. And I keep on hearing this dialogue, and I'm just wondering why. Like, the Sphere is such an incredible thing to be played. You have Madison Square Garden, but for reasons, if you're on that side of the table, right, you're a pro, this is your career, how you're going to be remembered, there's certain venues that you want to get to, and you'll even feel like, hey, I made it. So, but the talk of stadium keeps coming up, and I just simply don't know why. What is it about that you think would be cool? And I'm open to hearing, by the way. I'm very open to it. Does the idea of showing that MMA can support that MMA is mainstream, just by example, is that what it is? Or do you seem to think that it would be a bigger event? It would be a better event? The fighters would be greater? The experience that you're going to have if you do a stadium, and a majority of the stadiums in this country don't have a roof on them, which that can lend to a whole nother set of problems where you're not comfortable. And that's the part where it wouldn't just be the fan experience, that would be the fighters. Like, the fighters don't fight in rain. Horses will run in the rain. Football players, they'll go in the rain. Soccer players, which some weirdos call football, will go in the rain. But fighters don't go in the rain. There's a reason for that. And it can be extremely slippery, just for example. So I'm just suggesting for you, like, why a stadium? What is it that you ever saw at a stadium? When have you ever been to a stadium? What event did you have or what concert did you go to where the experience was a positive? I would feel that the bigger venues you go to, the worse the experience gets. I know the further you're going to park away. I know the longer you're going to wait in line. I know to get a hot dog is going to take you that much more time, whereas the closer venues, it's just a question. It's just an observation. As a fighter, of course, you would love to fight in front of more people. But this conversation isn't started by fighters. When fighters throw it out and go, oh, go get a stadium, and they're not trying to tell you a story of go get a stadium. They're trying to tell you, I am so popular. I could be the first. I could handle it. It's solid marketing. But the reality of going into a stadium, that's a very confusing concept for me. And the Sphere is going to be the most visually pleasant stimulation in the history of production. We have never been in a venue like this. And the reason I know that to be true is there isn't a venue like this anywhere in the world. First of its kind, one and only. Every seat is a special seat that can, from everything from vibrate to get, there can be chills. You've got an audio section where you can plug in and have headphones on. So you could listen on this event to Joe Rogan's commentary, Joe Rogan and Daniel and John Anik's commentary. You can plug in and listen to that while being live in the venue. That's just something special. Something perhaps you didn't know if you're going to the event. So I look forward to it. It's going to be something special. I don't hate the stadium idea. I mean, I'm just sharing for you. Like, I'm just surprised that you keep bringing it up. Surprised of what part of that do you think is going to work? And hey, look, this is going to get tested. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to do a stadium. I cannot imagine that they fill that up. I can't. They'll do it anyway they can. They'll do Groupons. They'll do bring a can of food. There'll be kids getting free with a paying adult. Like, you can break up every trick in the book. I don't believe that you could get 80,000 people to come to one place to watch something that's on television at your house. That's just what I think. I can be proved wrong. Manny Pacquiao played that exact same stadium, and from a production standpoint, they pulled it off. It worked. But it's tricky. I don't know the benefit. And I would be surprised if you truly, as a fan, believe there is one. You guys see these Venezuelan gangs that are taking over an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. And it was huge news. It was huge news. And I thought somebody was going to step in it. I mean, how would they know that there are Venezuelan gangs? And like, there was some information here that I didn't know somebody should run with without verifying. And then the Hells Angels are going to come to town and they're going to clean house. Now, this was really fun for headlines. And I don't know if it was a slow day or a marketing ploy for like a Harley Davidson motorcycle, but it was completely ridiculous from Jump Street. And not because I had deep immersions in gang activities. I was a leader in the underworld. Believe me, I know how it works. The Hells Angels aren't going anywhere unless one of their own had something happen. And by the way, if they're going to ride across the country, that was going to be a massive and publicized or a very important member. One of the two. They're not getting off their asses to head down there because they saw some kind of a news report. I mean, just so that you understand this. Now, it does put the Hells Angels in a very tough situation. When the media comes out with an absolute lie, they got an ego like anybody else. So now they actually are headed to Colorado for a rally that has nothing to do with the apartment complex, the Venezuelan gang, or anything that you saw in the news. They're going somewhere else in Colorado, and they're picking up steam, but now this is all over the news, and they're coming out like the heroes. It puts them in a very tough spot to not at least pull into town. So when this whole thing is going on, the reason you know this is garbage isn't just from understanding the interworkings of a 1% club. Who filmed it? You have a Venezuelan gang kicking in doors and taking people at gunpoint, right? Rounding the place up, doing this in secrecy, wearing masks at the time. But they allowed a videographer? Really? These weren't black and white surveillance videos. This was somebody with a camera filming them coming up the stairs, making sure that they see what these long guns are. making sure that they get some reference they can make to nationality going into a door, not really doing much after that, but you still have a cameraman. Somebody still funded that. Somebody is still behind it. Then you cut to the overhead drone shot of the Hell's Angels that are picking up steam, which is a really remarkable video, except it wasn't current, and it wasn't even the Hell's Angels that the news kept putting on, claiming was the boys coming to town to have their presence felt to save the Americans. I tell you this because there's a video that came out of Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya is in some kind of a situation in the streets that's verbal, but could easily escalate. And he's trying to get into a car. All right. Now, it's important that you understand that because this gets titled Road Rage. Israel Adesanya, Road Rage. Which, in all fairness, comes with a definition. You must be driving. You could end up out of the car. You could end up mouthing to each other. But it must at a minimum start while driving to enter that definition, which did not happen. Oh, and by the way, everything Izzy says, you can hear pretty well. And everything the other gentleman says, you can't hear very well. You have Izzy's face in the shot. And Izzy's, do we call it opponent? What do we call this person? His face is not in the shot. Now, this isn't a little guy, by the way. Like, this is the kind of guy that looks like he could handle himself. But I would trust, didn't know who Israel Adesanya did. The problem with that is he's got his buddy posted up across the street, which is the one that put the video out, made sure he had Izzy's face with sound, didn't have his buddy's face with sound, and took the time to thumbnail it, telling the audience a story before they ever clicked, influencing the jury before they ever clicked on the video. Road rage, Israel Adesanya. And I only offer for you that sometimes it's important to see those things. Sometimes it's important to be able to see something on video and understand when something is amiss or something is awry. To understand that you could not juxtapose that with any other experience that you've had on your time on this earth, where a gang's inner workings that they were trying to keep down, trying to keep a hush, overtaking this one complex, and then they allowed a videographer? This wasn't black and white surveillance footage that leaked out. This is films them coming up the stairs. And this is my favorite shot. You got this Venezuelan gang, right? And they turn the corner and they're coming up the stairs and they come to this platform and then they go in that door and you're like, oh my God, when the girl opens the door, you're like, oh my God. But then they're not. They kind of just talk to her. Hey, we're in charge now, is what it looked like. But my favorite part is the establishing shot is them coming up the stairs. So you got a cameraman who's going backwards. He's like, okay, clear. Right, okay, action. And then he's got to go backwards up the stairs so that they can come and face him. And then he's got to find a way to get out of the shot to establish the door and the person coming to it. And then there was like this special knock before they opened. Like it was so clearly in a script. A lot of people don't know what I just told you. A lot of people don't. And it was a cool story about the Hell's Angel. The problem is the dangers of actually implementing them. That's a problem. They have an ego like anybody else. And if they start to get praised and rewarded for this activity, of which they're going anyway, yeah, they just might pull through town. They just might. And Israel Adesanya has to put out a piece. And within the video, without knowing what anybody is saying or anybody's body language, Israel Adesanya was perfect. Now, he's got two things against him in case you don't believe that or you think this is chill covering. You have a black man with a headline that said he road raged. It is simply not what happened. As a matter of fact, he was very controlled. As a matter of fact, the words that came out of his mouth, the look that he had on his eyes while making sure he had a fairly defensive position, he actually at one point stepped away. He at one point opened up the car door of which he's behind. I mean, that is a shield. And the way that you would look and the way that you would talk, those are just strategic as a way of diffusing the moment. Of Israel getting his opponent to think twice, right? The art of war. The best general never fires a shot. Izzy handled this perfectly. By the way, at the time, not knowing he was set up, not knowing that there's a guy across the street filming the whole thing and is going to thumbnail it, ahead of time against him. I'm just bringing light to this situation. Izzy spoke on this. He said, you know what? There's really nothing funny about it. Anybody that saw that, oh, that's cool. I hope Izzy head kicks him. There's really nothing funny about it. I don't know him and don't want to ruin his day. But I also don't know how to do this gently. There's things that if he does are going to evoke a reaction from somebody like Izzy. He couldn't be able to control it. His body is it's absolutely trained. And I'm just sharing, it wasn't worth the risk. And this guy might have been a big tub of guts. Well, he was a pretty big guy, and he was a young enough guy. And, right, it's broad daylight, which would lead you to believe that he hasn't been out drinking. He's pretty clear-headed. Now what's he doing? And he's got a buddy over here filming. I don't think the plan was to get social media clicks. I think the plan was to get Izzy to touch him, and the guy curls up in the fetal position, files the lawsuit, and then all of a sudden a bystander happens to have a video, and it looks, I mean, this is what I think. This was a setup. At a minimum, it was a setup for what did happen. To label a black man, Israel Adesanya, ahead of time as a road rager. Now, whether that was to bring attention or ultimately money, we'll never know. I'm guessing and speculating, but I will tell you, Adesanya, completely innocent, and actually is a great example for how to get out of those situations. Because your feet with a pair of tennis shoes are still the single greatest defense a person has. And Izzy found a way to get out of there. All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And to those of you who have been leaving comments on Spotify, I love this one from Markel, who says, Chael, I didn't miss an episode. Thank you for the consistency and the information and constantly providing me entertainment. Well, you are very welcome, Markel. I appreciate you recognizing the hard work we're doing over here. All right, guys, I'm going to be back on Friday. But until then, enjoy your weeks. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.